If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. It's incredible that how David comes and he begins to write everything in Psalm 119 is the 22 letters of the alphabet in the Hebrew, every eight paragraphs. And we took the first 16 verses the last time we were here. And it's amazing how, you know, he starts out with the blessings of obeying God's word in verses 1 through 8. And then he starts out number 2 as we're reading to Psalm 119. And it's incredible that as he's reading in verses 9, all the way through the next 8 verses, he's talking about how we need the cleansing power through the word of God in our lives. And how the word of God does cleanse each one of our lives. And then you begin to see here now in verse 17, Gamel, which is the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, that now the blessings of God, and he begins now with a prayer. And this prayer is an amazing prayer because he begins to pray of God's blessings, how they come upon each one of us in order that we may know God and obey him in everything that God's word has to say to each one of us individually. Look how he begins Psalm 119:17. He says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word." I mean, how many times do we really pray, as he's praying here, for God to deal bountifully with me? Surely I want God to transform my life. I want God to deal with me in such a personal way, not just loving me and caring for me, but I want him to convict me. I want to be a changed person. I don't want to be the same person. Life is too short for young or old. It doesn't matter who you are. And yet in his prayer, as the psalmist is praying, the first word out of his mouth in his prayer, he says, "Deal bountifully with your servant." The humility of this man praying to God, not one word of pride, but total humility. He says, "And the reason that I'm asking you to deal bountifully with your servant is that I may live and keep your word," or obey your word, God. "Show me. Teach me. Lead me." He says, "And by the way, if you can, open my eyes too. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." I wonder how many of you, when you open the Word of God, and we've all gone through it, you open the Word of God and you read it and you say, "You know what? I didn't get it. I don't know what he's saying." I can remember as a non-believer going to Citrus College many, many years ago, and they had a Bible class. It was actually a literature class in the Bible, reading the Bible. And I learned that as I came to Christ, that when you take a class in college in taking and reading the Bible as literature, it's without inspiration, without illumination, and without revelation. That when you become born again of the Holy Spirit and God gets a hold of your life and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, that when you open the Bible, like Ryan when he was in Panama City and he got on his knees and he opened that Gideon Bible and he read it for 7 hours straight, that it was really not just the old King James Version, but God gave him understanding to speak to his own heart, as he speaks to my heart and as he speaks to your heart. We don't read just to read. We read so that God can speak. That's why we get up early in the morning and we study God's word. And we pray. If you are here tonight and you don't have a devotional life in your personal life, you know, I mean, if you go to the gym, if you go, like I go surfing early in the morning, get up at 4:30 in the morning to go surf every morning. And the reason I do that is not only for my health, because it's time that I spend with the Lord in my car driving to the beach. And when I get there before the sun comes up, I get to read the Bible and pray. And at the same time, to be a witness to anybody else that is there on the beach without preaching to them. And that's what's really happened over the last 3.5 years. I met these awesome people, man, at the beach, man, old guys that I've never preached to them, but the Lord has touched their lives. And it's really cool because here as David is writing, the first thing that he's talking about is that as I let God deal with me, then he opens my eyes that I may see wondrous things in his law. So the Bible is not boring. This is the word of the Lord. That's why we take it and we do exegesis or we do expository teaching and we go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation so that we can know the whole counsel of God. So that God can speak. So that God can deal with me personally. And what's amazing is I was reading that as he's talking about opening my eyes, this goes also with meditation. Meditation in your mind of God's word. Memorizing the word of God. As you got up this morning and read on the way to work or wherever you go, meditating, what did you read? What is God saying to you? What does God want to change in your life? Because we're coming into the presence of the Lord. And then in verse 9 he says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Isn't that beautiful? This should be our attitude in this world. We are strangers and pilgrims, Peter said. This is not our world. This world is passing away. Look at all the problems in government. Look at all the problems in the world. They're talking about electing a one world dictator already, and we're not even in the Antichrist time yet. I am a stranger. This is not my home. I'm just passing by. Very soon I'll be with the Lord. Because we look to the future, not to the past. We're living in the present. But the future is great hope in Jesus Christ because one day we're going to die. And if we don't die, the Lord is going to come for his church. And I believe we're living in that generation. So it's important for me that as I am a stranger on this earth, I surely do not want God to hide his commandments from me. I want him to show me. I want him to speak to me. I want him to use my life. And not to be afraid to speak to people about the truth. We're getting to the point where pulpits in America are being threatened by government. And it's really amazing how years ago we talked about this and yet some pastors and some leaders are becoming afraid to speak the truth. Because it could be very possible that from one day to the other we could be arrested, we could be in prison, or you could be killed. Like today, there was in the news, in Africa, there was a pastor that was killed. Two pastors were killed because they were underground. They were preaching to the underground church, and the Muslims waited, and they killed both of them. I don't fear the Muslims. I don't fear Al-Qaeda. I fear the Lord. I don't really care what people think about me. I only have one life to live, and that's for Jesus Christ. And the world needs to hear that we stand by faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, the church will become silent. And if the church becomes silent, then we no longer strangers or pilgrims, but we have what? Adapted to this world. Just like when Rome, when Caesar Nero began to put the pressure on the Christians. And they stood in line and they came up to the bench and Nero Caesar would say, who are you for? And you say, I'm a Christian or I am for Nero. Caesar is Lord or Jesus Christ is Lord. Hundreds, thousands of them said Caesar is Lord. They didn't want to die. They chickened out. But those that said Caesar is not Lord but Jesus Christ is Lord, they died horrible deaths. Including their children. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim on this earth. And I surely do not want to hide God's word in my life. I want to show it up to the world. Check this out. Verse 20, he says, my soul is breaking with longing for your judgments at all time. Notice that. We need to know the intensity and personally to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Isn't that incredible? The Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Now remember, he's praying. Verse 21, he says, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Who are the ones that are being rebuked? Who are the ones that are being judged? Those who are going astray from what? From the Word of God. Think of all the backsliders today in the church. All the people that are wimpies in the church, that are afraid to tell people about Christ. And they compromise with their families, and they compromise with their friends. And they don't make a stand. They don't draw the lines on the sands. You got to draw the line in the sands. Just like Joshua said, for me and my house, we have chosen to serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. The lines have to be drawn. Because days are coming where you'll be rebuked. You're going to be charged. You're going to be maybe imprisoned. Churches may close down. And we may have to go underground like the church in China and other parts of the world. That's where we're getting to. And yet the psalmist, notice verse 21 says, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. And verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Notice that this is to unbelievers. He's talking to unbelievers. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. He says, leaders also sit and they speak against me, but your servant meditates on all your statutes. Isn't that beautiful? His enemies include what? So many things that happen in life. So many things that happen. Trials, temptations, situations that happen in our lives. And yet, we do not try to defend ourselves. But God defends us. If I defend myself, then God cannot defend me. I always tell people that when you're trying to defend yourself and excuse yourself, you know what? You're guilty. But if you really are innocent, then you don't have to defend yourself. The Lord will defend you. He will stand by your side. He will never fail you. He will blow you away the way he does defend his people. This is what he's talking about here. Heads of families, the tribes and soldiers and officials, people that are in authority. Verse 24, he says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Notice that. Two things here that he's talking about. He's talking about how good things are about God's word and how God gives you all of his desires, not your desires. His desires. And what? His testimonies are what? Are my weapons against warfare, against Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil or the wicked one, Satan and his demons. Satan is so mad right now because he knows that time is very short for him and all his demons. And the church becoming light and salt and knowing that we're living in those last days, that he's going to try to get as many people as he can to take them to hell. And this is a time to rise up and stand for true faith in Jesus Christ. Like never, ever before. And check this out. He goes on. He starts now in the fourth letter, the left, in verse 25. He now is going to speak to us in verses 25 to 32 about the sense of personal insufficiency through the word. He says this, "My soul clings or glues to the dust. Revive me according to your word." The word to revive here in the Hebrew is to do, make me alive by your word. Give me life. I'm dead, I can get what? I can become alive. Revive me according to your word. Isn't that beautiful? What is he doing? He's praying for revival. We need to pray for revival. Revival has to begin in the house of God first before it goes out to the world. If we don't have the fire and the passion and the vision for the word of God and studying and praying and witnessing and doing whatever we can to pull people out of hell before they get there, then our testimony has nothing in this world. We have to be liable and we have to be believable in what we believe. Our faith in Jesus Christ has to be truly believed if we're truly going to be like Jesus Christ. He goes on, and notice he says in verse 26 now, "I have declared my ways, and you answer me, teach me your statutes." Isn't that beautiful? The word of God reveals what? Our spirituality. But, again, now he says, "Teach me, O Lord. Continue to teach me. Teach me your statutes. I want to know you. I want to know you in depth. I don't want to know you in a far distant place. I want to know you close to my heart, that you're there with me." Surely we want God to be next to us. For he already is living in me and working through my life. And then he says in verse 27, "Make me to understand the way of your precepts." When you sit down to read the Bible, ask God, "Lord, make me to understand your precepts. Show me. Give me understanding." So what? "So that I will meditate on your wondrous works." Imagine that. As you're driving to work, or wherever you are, to meditate on what you have read and the way God has spoken to you throughout the day. But if you don't have the word of God in the morning, then how are you going to make it throughout the day? You can't make it. You'll be walking in the flesh, not the Spirit of God. The word of God is the sword of God. Man, this is my weapon. And know how to use the weapon to become effective. If not, you'll get defeated. Your opponent will kill you. And who's that? Satan. You got to know how to do that. That's why here he's very, very precise in what he says. He says in verse 28, "My soul melts from heaviness." You ever feel like that? When you have this heaviness in your heart? You feel like you're overweight, you know, with grief, bitterness, depression. Maybe you're here tonight. You got the blues. "My soul melts from heaviness." And notice what he says, his prayer. "Strengthen me according to" what? "Your word." Not according to psychologists. Not going to psychologists and paying them. Or being hospitalized. But the word of God relieves you. The word of God heals you. The word of God clears your mind. You know what? Amazing is the way Satan has been attacking me lately with these little seizures that I get from 1 minute to 2 minutes. Where I'm fully conscious, but I can't speak and I can't read. I had a couple before I left. In South America, I have none at all. None at all. But Satan knows the effect that this church and the people of God here are making in all the world. And what would he love to do? He would love to shut me up. And he would love to shut you up. But I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm ready for whatever." Because I really, truly put my faith in Jesus Christ. He's in control of my life. And whatever he wants. When I'm done, I'm done. I want to go home. I don't want to be around anymore. But as long as I can fight, as long as I can speak, as long as I can study and teach, man, I want to do it as long as I can. To draw people into his kingdom. To rescue them from the pits of hell. That's my desire. That's my heart. I want to have passion and vision for this church and for the world. And that's why I like the psalmist. When I was reading this, it really touched my life because he says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Lord, I need your strength. And how does that come? By the conditioning of the word of God. Through his word, I become strong in the midst of my trials. He is with me. And like Paul, if God gave me a thorn in the side, praise the Lord. I'll live with it. But the devil won't shut me up. I'll still speak for God. Doesn't matter what he says. I can learn sign language too. Verse 29. He says, remove me from the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. That's really good because how many times we lie? We don't speak truth, and we're Christians. He says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Lord, by your grace. Why? I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Isn't that interesting? This is so important here. To choose to believe in Jesus Christ and in his word. If not, you are going to be judged heavily. Heavily. To those who reject Christ will be heavily judged. But if we put our faith and trust in him, if we repent and we receive him by faith, then what? We are spared from judgment. We enter into his love and grace and mercies. He says in verse 31, I cling, he says, I stick or I glue myself to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. The only way that I would be shamed would be what? Not to know God's word. It would be embarrassing. Especially when I say I'm a Christian for 37 years. Verse 32, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Isn't that beautiful? Notice that here, that fear here turns into faith as the psalmist is concluding this great 8 verses. He says what? I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge what? My heart, O Lord. God enlarges our hearts. When you see the lost all over the world, it is horrible. Horrible. People that are going to hell. But I want to run by faith. I want to do what God's called me to do. To do that course according to his commandments, his word. So that he can enlarge my heart. Then he starts in the next part, the next 8 verses. He starts with the word H-E. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it. To when? To the end. Notice that the theme of revival is sustained by what? It is sustained by the word of God. The word of God that revives me. I shall keep it to the end, O God. That should be our desire every day. Teach me, O Lord. Be teachable. Don't be proud. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with all my heart. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if I'm being taught the word of God, and this continues in my life, then he's going to give me understanding to be able to keep his law. And if I indeed keep his law, then I will observe it with all of my heart. I will not be moved from the rock, Jesus Christ. He's my solid foundation. I will be obedient to it. Obedience. No more legalism, but I live by the grace of God. And then he says, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Why? For I delight in it. Underline that. Do you delight in it? Sounds like someone delighting in the law of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The necessity of understanding God's word. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I truly delight in them. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to be covetous or not to covetousness. The problem is always mine, I, you know, and it's always about me, but what about others? About being a giving person, a forgiving person, one that takes the back seat, not always in the front. Being understanding, being kind, being forgiven. And really, really taking in who Jesus Christ is. Then he said this is amazing. Verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Oh, I think this is so important. Look what he says. The problem here with so many of us, what is it? They were always putting our trust in things that are worthless. They have nothing to do in eternity. Interesting. He says again, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. He says, and revive me in your way. Again, this is also looking at whorish women. Men, listen carefully. When you go to work, remember you have a wife. Remember if you have a girlfriend. If you're really a believer, don't be lusting after other male or females. Stay true to your partner. No matter what you're going through. If you're a real Christian, you don't want to be coveting your neighbor's wife or the girl in the office or the man in the office. You want to make sure that you're honest between God and that your wife can trust you, your husband can trust you, so you can be a witness to your children and your grandchildren. It's not worth it to be in adultery. It's not worth it. You can have all the women or all the men in your life and you'll still be empty. Empty. Drugs and sex and alcohol doesn't satisfy anybody. It's a bigger hole. When you find the right person, man, there's peace and there's true satisfaction. And you stop looking. You start loving and caring and you do what's right. And you obey God's word. You do what's right, the scripture says. That's why he says here, very important. He says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and what? And revive or make me alive again in your way. Notice that. It could be money. It could be pride. It could be anything that takes me away from who? From Jesus Christ. When something else takes God's love away from me, whatever I love the most, that's my God. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you, Lord. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Notice that. Behold, I long for your precepts. Again, make me alive in your righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? In your righteousness, Lord God, make me alive. Give me life. Then in verses 41 to 48, the last part here now is the victory that we have through the word of God. Check this out, the wall here. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So here, notice much of this prayer again. He's still praying. The word of God brings what? Mercies. Salvation through his word. Verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust, where? In your word. The Bible is God's word. You can trust it 100%. Notice his prayer. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, which means don't stop talking to people about Christ. Teach your children, parents, about Jesus. When they go to sleep, when they get up in the morning, in the afternoons when you're sitting at a table, walking by the park, wherever you are, talk to them about Jesus Christ. My little grandson, he's only a year and 8 months, and he loves sitting on top of my neck, like holding his feet. He's a boy, you know, so he's all over the place. And he likes to, when I'm holding him here, he likes to come down and look at my face. And I'm always whispering in his ear, Jesus is Lord, you know, so I get the opportunity to brainwash him. He has the biggest smile in the whole world, man. And this is what the Lord is saying. Why? Because in the Old Testament, in the time of Moses, when the women were having their babies, You know, you go into a maternity ward today, they have the baby, they cut the umbilical cord, they give you the baby. But the first thing that the Hebrews would do, they would take that baby coming out of the womb, and the mother would have it in her hands, and she would bring the baby up, it's bloody and the whole thing, and go to the right ear and say, Yahweh is God. Those are the first words. Or not how beautiful he was. Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. Hundreds, thousands, millions of times that boy or that girl would listen to those words from the parent's mouth. Yahweh is God. Putting our full trust in God. Notice that. Verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word, he says. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, where? Forever and ever, not just on Wednesdays, forever and ever until we die and go to heaven. And then notice the consequences of keeping God's word. And I will walk at what? Not in bondage, in liberty. I love that. Underline that. You're going to walk free. I'm going to walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Notice that. People who walk in sin are bound by Satan. They are in what? Bondage. Not in freedom. We are free. We have liberty because of the Holy Spirit's power. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in your commandments. Notice, underline this, which I love. I love the word of God, man. I love it so much. I like to read every translation of the Bible. I do that every year. NAS, New King James, Old King James, Living Bible, whatever it is. Every translation. I want to know what the Bible has to say in every language or every translation. I want to learn. I want God to speak to me. That's why he says in verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hand also I will lift up to your commandments. Notice again, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So we are to love God's word, and we are to what? Meditate upon God's word. What you read this morning should be throughout the whole day. Memorizing scriptures, memorizing the stories, and allow God to speak to you the way he wants to speak to your heart. That's the way that we keep God's word. We'll stop here. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your love and grace and mercies. We pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would continue through this great Psalm 119 to speak to us in every one of the strophes, Father, as we read them. Every 8 verses, Lord God. Father, as we look at the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Father, in each one of these letters, it's about the Word of God. And Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for your people. I pray, Lord God, that you continue to move in us, to work through us in every way, Lord God, so that we can bring glory and honor to your name. And just very quickly, if there's anybody here that is sitting here tonight for the first time, second, third, or whatever, you can be a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. You can be, you know, many religions of the world. But there's only one way, one truth, and one life. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to receive Christ, please stand to your feet right now and stand out. Walk out and come up here to the front. I want to pray with you. Whoever you are, just come. That's why we're here. Father, we are so thankful for your love and grace and mercies that you give to us every day. Father, the way you convict us, the way you save us, the way you fill us with your Holy Spirit, and then the way you use our lives with such imperfection. Lord God, I pray for these that have come tonight. I pray for each one of them, that you touch them, that you anoint them, Lord. And those of you that have come forward, I want you to pray with me this prayer. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me this prayer aloud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to cleanse me and wash me by your blood. I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Just go right over there. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. That's neat.